I'm your host, Al Cooley. Today, I have Jerry Ayers. He is the founder and lead investigator of the Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota. Jerry was on a couple years ago, and I love it when my past guests haven't given up their podcast, haven't dropped out of the paranormal investigations. Jerry's been with it since 2010. He's still an investigator out of Minnesota, so he's been very active. And I'll be right back with the return visit of Jerry Ayers after these brief messages.
Hello, world. You're listening to Eleanor Wagner's Strange and Scary World here on the Paranormal UK Radio Network, where we're always creeping it real. I'm your host, Eleanor Wagner. Are you a lover of all things paranormal? Obsessed with ghosts and everything about them? Can't get enough of the spirit world and want to hear your next story? How about listening to stories from the people behind the scenes and how they got there? Do you like listening to stories from people living them? Are you intrigued by strange phenomena of all types? UFOs? Bigfoot? Scary underground tunnels right in your own neighborhood? Well, that's the kind of stuff you'll be listening to on Eleanor Wagner's Strange and Scary World. And you'll get a history lesson here and there along the way. I can't get enough of this stuff, and I'm going to share it all with you. You can follow me and find out more about my Lady Ghostbuster team's adventures at my website, AuthorEleanorWagner.com, where you'll find video updates, audio footage, and photographs from every investigation. Thank you, paranormal enthusiasts, for joining in today. Liked what you heard and listened to in this episode? Check out the full podcast. I hope you'll come back again. Remember to tap into your own gifts. Everyone has them. In the meantime, make sure you're creeping it real.
Oh, how you doing, Jerry?
Not too bad. Yourself?
Oh, doing really good. I mean, it's been a crazy 2 years with the COVID and things being canceled out on you. And you probably know that with investigations.
Yep. As a matter of fact, we just started getting back into it. Everybody on the team was like, no, I'm sorry. I'm not going out to nobody's house. We'll do businesses as long as we're masked up and gloved up. And it's like, yep, totally understand.
Now we're going to get into your paranormal team and the calling radio show. If I ask you this, when you was on a couple of years ago, what made you pick the paranormal? You picked the paranormal and you have stuck with it.
Well, when I was a kid, my mom was a psychic, and this is up in Bemidji, Minnesota. And she had a weird thing. I mean, she didn't, you know, burn sage and all that stuff. She actually in grocery store, she would go up to someone. She'd always get this, I always called it the dead look. I know that sounds weird, but she would walk up and touch their arm and tell them, you know, where their life, what would you call it? Their life trail, mm-hmm. where it snapped off and why, and told them why they're doing it now. So in other words, like, I remember one conversation she had with some lady where she said that there was a lot of bullying in her class, and her mother and father really didn't do much to help, and her brother was part of the bullying other than, you know, people and kids in their school and stuff. So that broke her right there. She never did get to follow what she wanted to do in life. So mom told her, you know, okay, this is, you were younger. This is done. This is over. You know, you can get back to it again. You need to work. You're still young. You're less than 30. You can go to school and get that. So the woman did. But this is the kind of things that mom would see in someone. And when she would tell them what she sees that happened, it used to blow them all away because it did happen. So I actually hated it. I hated ghosts. I hated all that stuff. But then little things started happening through life. My first out-of-body experience, which was really interesting, and that was at the age of 5. At the age of 7, I had another out-of-body experience that actually went from 7 to what I seen was myself at the age of 14, and I seen a girl, and her name was Randy, and she was my girlfriend, and we were sitting on her couch watching TV when all of a sudden she looked at me. Now, this is when I'm 14, okay, but I mean, and she bumped me with her elbow, and she said, "What do you think of that?" Then I went back to being 7 years old again. So this little things like that. And then when I did turn 14, I'm sitting there, I'm with my girlfriend, Randy, and we're talking and stuff. And all of a sudden she pointed something out on the TV and she smacked me and she says, "What do you think of that?" Then I was back to being 7 years old. Wow. With my mom telling me, "That is not the girl that you're going to marry. You might as well walk away now." And I did. Wow. And my mom died in 1976, and this happened years later. So mom was dead at this time. And then a car accident in 1981, where I seen mom, she told me a bunch of stuff. And I know this sounds really weird, but that was the awakening on things that I can do. And then when I got married, and my wife and I, we started thinking about ghosts and stuff like that, and it fell into it. And then all of a sudden it's like, this is cool, this mm-hmm. is real, this is things that I think my life was supposed to be doing in the beginning, but my fear of it took me away from it. So I mean, now Steph and I were divorced and everything, but she's still on the team, which is Supernatural Investigators in Minnesota. She has her own radio show now called The Gathering, which is on Tuesdays. Mine's The Calling, which is on Wednesdays. We've been doing a lot of stuff all over the place. We've actually signed a contract with a bar restaurant in Wisconsin, in Humbert, called the Hotel Bar and Grill. This place, let me tell you, Al, you go to this place one time, it's the only place that actually scared me so bad. And all it was a chandelier, a Budweiser chandelier started swinging on its own. Of other stuff that I've seen there and witnessed and heard, the screams, everything that we caught on EVPs, that didn't scare me that much. To me, that was cool. But watching this chandelier starting to swing was the most fear I have ever felt in my entire life. And now the people that own it, you know, they're opening up about things that are going on. And yeah, we're excited for 2022 there.
I just read that today. It's kind of weird you brought that up with the bar, because I was doing some background check on you, and I know you were on a couple of years ago, almost 2 years to this day. I didn't know that about the bar experience. You were on another podcast. I was listening to you explain about the bar and the hauntings in that bar, you know, the pounding and the scaring the daylights out of you.
Yep, right. You know, one thing that's really funny about that is on my show, The Calling, we got the manager of the place, which her name was Chris. She was doing a radio show with us, and she's in one of the most haunted rooms, and she's got her back to the wall and stuff like that, or to the bed. And we're all, it was Steph, who's on my team, and Kim, my co-host from Cat Paranormal. We're all on here. We're on Skype. We're watching each other and stuff. And all of a sudden, right next to Chris, this white smoke starts to swirl like a mini tornado. And I'm like, Chris. And then Kim's like, "Wait, Jerry, wait, are you smoking up there?" And she's like, "No, there's no smoking, you know?" And then she could feel something next to her, and she got really scared. And 10 minutes later, on the other side of the bed, right next to the bedpost, we seen another little thing start to form. And as it went behind the bedpost and come out the other side, it was a little girl with blonde hair. You could see the top of her head walking past the bed. And I tell you, I completely freaked out. I mean, this place in Humbert, if people want to go on one heck of an investigation, it is, to me, even though it's small, it's just as haunted as Waverly Hills, where the ghosts look for you and everything, you know?
That wasn't the campus of Minnesota State Academy for the Deaf?
No. This was a hotel bar and grill in Humbert, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Yeah, the Academy of the Deaf, we've never done. It's funny you should bring that up, is that my friend who lives down there, he's a historian, and he helped us out with Walcott, which Walcott was an asylum way back in the day, you know, he kind of put the deaf and the blind school together, put a photo of it, and said, Jerry, you know, any stories about this place? And I said, yo, tons of stories about this. And I got accused by some woman of going in there illegally and that I shouldn't have been there and stuff. And I'm like, I've never been there. The only thing I was saying is that there's a lot of stories that people have told me about it, you know, and she got really upset about it. And yeah, we had quite the conversation on that.
It's been 2 years. So what's happened in the past 2 years?
We've got a stronger team that is, we're all very much so like-minded people that we want to know what's out there. You know, we want to know what is the truth. And that's one thing. Sim is extremely skeptical. That's where a lot of people in our peers don't really care for us too much, because it's like, you know, like they'll say something about Bigfoot. One guy said, I have Bigfoot DNA. Seriously, how can it be Bigfoot DNA? Nobody else has it. You know, so whatever you got is, it's not that unless you have something to be able to put it with. So in ghosts too, I mean, I need to see the video. I need to see the audio, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you mentioned Sim. I just want to make sure my listeners know that you're talking about, because you are the lead investigator of the Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota.
Correct.
And that's what Sim stands for.
Yep.
You are the co-founder and main investigator, correct?
There's actually six of us that form SIM. I'm the guy with the big mouth. So I am, they call me the founder or the, okay. I'm the co-founder. Yeah. With a bunch of other people.
With COVID going on, there's so many people now staying home, working from home, not working. So they're what I've been finding anyway, with my guests coming on and people that's contacting me, is they're home more. So now they're seeing their house, so to speak, for the first time, and hearing things in their house that they never heard before.
We have gotten quite a few cases and stuff, but we'll ask people right straight out, are you vaccinated? You know, if you're vaccinated, we want to see the card before we'll go into the house. I'm not going to put none of my people at risk. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, even though we are all vaccinated, but we're, you know, still, I'm not going to put somebody in that, you know, possibility something could happen and stuff like that.
So you think that because you're home more, you'll find things that you didn't realize before?
Could be, you know, because, I mean, your energy's around, you're frustrated because you want to be able to go out, go back to work and everything. Everybody, even though they say how much they hate work, it's like when you get stuck at home with all this stuff, you want to get out. So your energy changes. So I believe that there are spirits that may reach out or may, you know, kind of make a little contact that you never noticed before. You know, like here in this little apartment that I'm at and stuff, the windows, and this is no kidding, but the windows are, you know, you got to pull up and then push out the window. All of a sudden, they're opening by themselves. Mm. And I keep my place smudged and, you know, try to keep it free. But that's just the way it is.
I've had so many strange things happen to me with certain guests that's been on this show. And it's unreal. I get, you know, to me, if you have never witnessed a calling, afterlife or ghost or spirit, you're one of these people that you just don't believe. You're always told, you know, boogeyman or ghost or spirit. None of that was real. You know, even in church, I mean, they never touched upon it. But like you were talking about your mother, you know, being a psychic, she was at a time before internet. Back then, you know, people made fun of her. You know, she didn't want to bring that up, that she was a psychic. What she probably went through and was name calling, and even you as a child.
It's you know, what things happened back then compared to now. Okay. So back then, I would say it was, gosh, it was after mom died. So it had to be still in the 70s, the later 70s. My brother Jimmy, hydrophysalis, water on the brain. I was in Bemidji. My dad was there. Jimmy was down in the Minneapolis at the U of M, and the neighbor came to see him and stuff. And all of a sudden, Jimmy felt like he was going through a tunnel, and he looked up and he could see Chuck, and he just all of a sudden was gone. Well, Jim has one leg shorter than the other, and people always made fun of him. So here's Jim. He's walking around, right? And he doesn't feel. He feels different. He feels like he's normal. He doesn't have the limp anymore and stuff. And he's looking around. He can hear people talking, but he really can't see them. He can see these white figures and stuff. And all of a sudden, he hears our mother's voice say, "Jimmy, I'm over here." And Jim walks over and stuff. And this is a fact, what I'm talking about. And he goes over to her and stuff. And she said, "Hi," you know, and he's like, "Mom." He said, "Wow." And she goes, "Yep, it's, you can come with me and everything. It's, everything's going to be okay. Don't be afraid." He says, "I'm not afraid." He said, "I feel so good." And she said, "Well, you look good." And then all of a sudden, lightning started coming. And she said, "Oh, I'm sorry, honey. It's not your time yet. You got to go back." Now, Jim's remembering all this stuff, and he's telling. But, okay, anyway, so he starts to feel this pull. And mom says to him, "Tell your dad I love him. Tell your brother and sister. And tell Jerry I'll be seeing him soon again." And so Jim goes back up. He's up there now above all the doctors. He's watching them. There's seven doctors that are working on him. There's one that must be new because he's kind of cowering in a corner. There's a woman that's standing there that's handing instruments to the doctor. They're talking about different things and stuff. And then all of a sudden, they bring him back. He's in the table. He woke up and stuff. And the doctor says, "Do you know where you are?" He goes, "Well, I've been watching you for the past 5 minutes. And the doctor's like, "What?" And he said, "I seen all you guys. There's seven of you in here. And that guy right there must be new because all he wouldn't come out of the corner." And I mean, Jimmy's calling people out. And they're like, "Oh, wait a minute. How do you know?" And he said, "I heard everything you said." And then told the one doctor everything that he had said while he was up there, was up above. And the doctors were freaked out by that. Then all of a sudden, once they put him in a room and he was fine, here come other doctors from down at the Mayo. A doctor flew in all the way from Japan to see Jimmy because they wanted to know about his experience. There was priests coming in to talk to him too about what he's seen. I mean, nowadays, now if you say that, scientists are going to say that's your brain, you know, just kind of going off and giving you the glory and stuff. But wait a minute. How could that have happened from some kid from way back, you know, in time that, you know, there's no explanation for it.
Was your brother ever pronounced dead?
Yep. He was pronounced dead for, it was like 3 minutes or something like that before they revived him. And in that 3 minutes is when he seen mom. So he was technically dead. But then when the lightning started, and that's when they were, you know, really going at him to get him back and stuff. That's when, you know, he came back.
I was just curious, you know, you said that time he was gone, your brother.
Yeah.
You know, if he was pronounced dead.
Yeah, he was definitely pronounced dead. And, you know, what's really weird is that just this past Christmas, on Christmas Day, my father lives in a assisted living home, and he talked with the people there, and all my brothers and sisters were going to come there for dinner with him. I got there ahead of time, and I went upstairs, but I called Dad, and I said, "Hey, I'm here. I'm coming up." "Okay, come on up," you know, and stuff. So come upstairs, and he's sitting there. He says, you believe in this crap, but I don't. And I go, what's that? There was a woman that was just here just moments ago. And she looked at me and she said, I'm waiting for you, Lowell. And I kind of looked at him and I went, okay, Dad, my dad's 94 years old. And we're sitting there talking. And I asked him, I said, you know, did she look familiar? No. I said, it wasn't Mom. No. I said, was it your mother? No, I don't think so. While we're talking, all of a sudden we both look over at this chair and I seen a fleeting glimpse of someone. And Dad says, that's her again. And then it was like, oof, you know, it just went right through me. And now he's, as of the yesterday, he was having some problems. And I'm really kind of hoping that, you know, I mean, 94, for God's sakes, you know.
You're a psychic also?
Yeah. In 2010, people were asking, can you smudge houses? And I'm like, I'm not really sure. And being Native American, I went down to the American Indian Center in Minneapolis, and I started asking questions about that. This guy, friend of mine that's there, he says, you know, talk to him. And this guy was a medicine man. And he said, yeah, I'll be more than happy to show you. So he was showing me how to smudge people and stuff. And he said, now I want you to smudge this guy. And I said, okay. So the guy was all for it. I go up there, I got my shell. I got sweetgrass, kinnikinick, cedar, and sage. And I'm burning it, and I've got a feather, and I'm going around and stuff. Then all of a sudden, it's like I was looking through the knothole of a fence, and I was seeing this man as a child, and him sitting there with his uncle and auntie, and they were belittling him. He was in fear. They were drunk, and they were screaming at him. And I just stopped, and I said, okay, I don't know if I'm supposed to be seeing this. And the guy's like, or the medicine man, says, what'd you see? And then I told him, and then he smudged him too and stuff. And he said, okay, let's get you another person. He said, I want you to smudge this guy. So I started smudging him and stuff. And this guy right here was, everything was good with him throughout most of his life. He was raised mostly with white people and stuff. And at one time, he decided to go back to the reservation, Red Lake, and to be with his father's, his uncles and stuff. And that's where they kept calling him Whitey. They didn't want nothing to do with him because he wasn't true to his to himself on who he is and stuff. He decided to throw all that away. And to him, he wasn't, you know, native whatsoever, an indigenous. And it destroyed him. It really ripped him up and stuff. You know, and when I was going to tell the medicine man what I had seen, he said, no, don't say nothing. So then he smudged him. And he came up with the same thing. He told his buddy what he had seen. And he said to me, he goes, what did you see? And then I told him, and his buddy just kind of looked at me and he said, that's what he just said. He goes, that's exactly what I seen. He said, Jerry, do you know that you're a smoke reader? And I said, no. And I said, told him what my mom could do, which was roughly the same thing. He said, but you need something to get that to come through, which is smoke. He said, I am a smoke reader. I thought I was the only one around. So he said, I'm quite amazed. And now we're really good friends. We talk all the time and stuff like that. And he's a pretty amazing guy. You know, we actually sit down. We're not supposed to do it, but we talk about different people that we've smudged and some of the oddities, which I'm not going to get into you with, of things that we've seen.
I'll be right back with the rest of my conversation with Jerry Ayers right after these brief messages.
Have you ever felt life is a fast-moving train? It doesn't stop long enough to give you time to process what's happening. Has life thrown you some curveballs and you don't know exactly how to restart? You need a community that can relate to you. Well, you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Kathy Brooks, the host of The Kathy Brooks Show. Come discover three pillars, spirit, soul, and body, how they connect with your life experiences and how growing in these areas can impact everything. Want to learn more? Take this journey with me. Tune in Sundays, 7 Central on Stunner Radio.
I see on your radio show, The Calling, your co-host,
Kimberly Juarez.
You guys work good together.
I love Kimberly. She's awesome. I've had a lot of different co-hosts. And when I got Kimberly, I mean, I think we hit it pretty good together, but she's not afraid to say, nah, I don't think so, Jer.
Do you play off each other? You know, you're learning off each other. Just looking at her background a little bit, you know, and I believe she's also interested in Bigfoot.
Yep. She was, I don't know if she, I think she's still with Squatchers. It's an all-female Bigfoot team. I do believe she's still with them still. And yeah, she's just an incredible person. She's very gifted. She is a psychic. So many things that her and I, as a matter of fact, we went on. I said, I need somebody to help me with some smudging up in by St. Cloud. And she's like, yeah, I'll go. I said, okay, great. So we headed up there and stuff. And I was about to tell her, she goes, don't tell me nothing. And she said, when we get there, I'll tell you what I feel and hopefully it'll jive together of what the client said. And oh, she was right to the T. Oh yeah.
I see that, you know, you're Minnesota, Wisconsin, Oklahoma, North Dakota, South Dakota. You know, that's an area you're mentioning about the Native American and Bigfoot. I think I get more stories from Minnesota and Oklahoma than I think any other state.
Well, we really don't do much with Oklahoma, but we do it with North Dakota, South Dakota, and Nebraska. Santee,
Nebraska
yeah. was unbelievable. Yeah,
Minnesota had a lot of Native American stories
on Bigfoot,
and even on their the sacred burial grounds and other issues also.
Yep. When it comes to Gichisabi, it's like, you know, I mean, I seen him in 2015. I know that sounds crazy, but I went up for Squatchers, did a talk during Bigfoot days. And Steph, she said, hey, we're going to go up to Reamer. Do you want to meet us up there? And I said, sure, no problem. So I'm driving up there and I'm thinking, I'm looking and I'm like, my grandfather used to take me to this place many times around the area. And there's just no water up there anymore. There's just swampland and stuff. And all of a sudden I see what I thought was a moose trying to get up from the ground. And I'm like, I pull over and I'm watching it. All of a sudden it gets up on 2 feet and I'm like, that's a bear. And I'm looking at it, you know, a bear's got a bulbous rear end, long body. And it's like, no, that's not a bear. And then it started to move. And Bigfoot, they claim, is this big muscular type ape and everything else. First off, before I got the best look at it, it was looking across this river, and he put his hand, he or she, over its forehead to be able to see across the river. So to me, to keep the sun out of its eyes, that showed intelligence. And then when it turned, that's when I got the full view of the face. And even though I had a camera with, and I was trying to get it open with one hand, I wasn't going to stop staring at it even for a moment. I was watching its butt, its legs, its shoulders. I know you think, I'm not being a pervert here, okay, Al? Just because I looked at you like that, you know, a couple of times. But anyway, no, and when it was walking, it was more of a saunter. And to be honest, it had the shape and everything of Shaquille O'Neal. I know, weird. But by seeing that and seeing 99.9% sure that that is Bigfoot, and looking at the Patterson film, I'm sorry, the Patterson film is fake in my eyes, because the butt is what gives it all the way. The butt and the hips and the way it moved, that is not a pillow. I mean, you know, and plus two, if Bigfoot was that big and muscular, it wouldn't be able to swim. If it's built like, you know, which they depicted as an ape, apes can't swim. They're afraid of water. They would go down and they would drown, plain and simple.
Now, you asked me a couple of years ago, you took me by surprise, honestly, you remember not, when you asked me if there's any possibility that maybe Bigfoot and UFOs were connected. But since we had that conversation, a very good friend of mine who does not believe in Bigfoot, does not believe in aliens, does not believe in ghosts.
Do they believe in peanut butter and jelly is good on toast?
But he went on a, what we call them, those wilderness tours where they drop you off on a little island off of Alaska, and you're there for 2 weeks and you live off the land.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah. So whatever you take with you, you know, you better ration it out for 2 weeks, because you can fish and you know what you can eat out of the wilderness or whatever animals you can kill. But he was telling me the second night they were there that he spotted little Bigfoot, because they were in a tent. Two of him and another friend buddy were in a tent. The other four stayed in the cabin. So that night he seen the hairy hand come in. Then he pulled back out. He's like, am I dreaming this? So he nudged the other guy. And they both looked at it, and all of a sudden he wedged himself in. It was just a little baby Bigfoot. And he's like,
wow.
Neither one said a word. So when he backed out of the tent, his buddy says, well, baby's here. Mama's not too far.
Oh, gosh. Behind. Yeah.
They let that go and didn't say anything. But then the very next week before they left, four other guys in a cabin seen a UFO exit behind the woods at the same spot they would seen little Bigfoot. And neither one said anything to each other for 2 years, because, you know, they're saying now that, you know, UFOs are going underwater, they can go underwater. And I just was curious if maybe
they, you know, whoever they are, claim that Bigfoot and UFOs are together. They also claim that Bigfoot and coyotes hang together to help for hunting and stuff. You know, they say also Bigfoot lays in the summertime in small shallows to cool himself off when it's really hot. All these people, they say it, but nobody really has video of any of this or anything like that that's really to prove. But I really don't think that UFOs and Bigfoot, I do tend to believe what the indigenous say about Bigfoot, and that he is a interdimensional being. And that he can, you know, at will go in and out, you know, to do that. Could it be that UFOs have found that wormhole or that portal and they're doing it too, and they just happen to come through at the same time? I don't know. But do I really believe that? I do believe in that, you know, because once you see him and then all of a sudden he's gone, it's like, exactly where did he go? When I watched him that day, he went through the woods, but there was a very sparse side on the other side. I never seen him. And he should have came through that, but he wasn't there. You know, a lot of people will see trees that are bent in, and it's like, okay, they're bent in. Some of them are young ones. How could they be bent in if nothing is there to bend it in? They didn't snap. Could that have been that portal? You know, it makes you shake your head, because at the same time, you know, it sounds silly. But is it that possibility?
After doing this for so long, and the people I talk to on this show, I've talked to pilots that have chased these UFOs. So when you talk about a $1 billion jet and these highly trained pilots, and you're saying that they were just oriented at a certain height, or, you know, when the UFO report came out for the Pentagon last year, what did you think of that?
You know, I mean, I questioned some of it, but then some of it, we had a guy on the show. We called him Paranormal Writer. We didn't let his name out. He was a pilot. He told me when, where, all that stuff, gave me his flight plan, everything of when he seen this the UFO. And so with MUFON, I had them help me find in that time, that year, when it all happened and the times and stuff, because this guy was crossing the Virginia border into Pennsylvania, I think it was, or something like that. I'm not good at geography. Anyway, it all lined up. They had a couple witnesses at that exact date and time watching an aircraft with a UFO coming in the front and a UFO slightly underneath in the back. the people on the other side said they were watching it, and they watched as the airplane flashed on and off lights, or not off, but brighter and then dimmer, brighter than dimmer, and kind of did like a little, you know, wave back and forth and stuff with the wings, while whatever it was still coming straight for them. And as it got right up there to the aircraft, it shot straight up. The other one followed along for a little while, and then it shot up too and was gone. Now, paranormal rider knew of the one, of course, that he seen. He never knew about the second one. And I am, again, 99.9% sure that that was his plane where that happened. And his story accounts of what other people on the ground witnessed at that time.
More and more people now with their cell phones, and you're seeing it's happening every single day all around right. The world. And so we know there's something out there.
Yeah. Well, I was just watching one that was down in Kansas, and they said it was a UFO. It was caught during the day, not a cloud in the sky, and it was spinning. Did you see that one?
I didn't see that one. No.
I kind of question that a lot, because when you watch it, it, you know, it's, I don't know, it just looks a little funky. I'll find it and send it to you.
Oh, great. Have you seen on that Tic Tac video? You know, they're trying to, you can see where they kind of lock on it, but it's just, whoosh, it's gone.
Right.
You're not around 6 to 10,000 miles an hour. So when you go from 24,000 feet, 28,000 feet, and you're going down to sea level in 3 seconds, no human being could survive that G-force.
No. Engine would go out.
So you had mentioned before that it could this be drones, either maybe ours or even something that's beyond ours, you know?
Yeah. You know, that's one big thing right there. You know, a lot of people are saying, like when I was a kid seeing UFOs everywhere and stuff, this was back in the 60s. It's like, wait a minute, you know, this is way different. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, they were drones back then. Yeah, no, don't think so, you know. But do I feel that they were filled with little green men or little gray men? No, I, you know, if they're going across the universe, what's the best way but to use a drone? That's what we do now. I mean, to go to different planets and stuff before we, you know, send people over there. I mean, look at Mars. No man has been up there or woman, but, you know, they send drones out there and stuff. And that's, I think that could be the possibility that that's all is coming at us, where they're wondering about us, you know.
On the UFO report, I'm glad they came out with it, first of all, because they just hush-hush for so many years. But I really don't think they tackled any of the major, because if you look at what was the 23 reports, 23 incidences, and only one they came up with conclusion, and it was a weather balloon. Go figure that.
Right.
Like I said before, more and more people are filming this or taping this or recording this on their devices. It's hard to say, no, this didn't happen. Excuse me, for the government to treat us all like we're imbeciles. It's a weather balloon. You know, I just don't buy it.
Right. I hear you on that. A lot of them, they're still afraid. They're afraid for their family and stuff. We had a cop, Northwestern Minnesota, back in the 70s. And then in the 70s, again, in Elmwood, Wisconsin, which is the UFO capital of Wisconsin, happened there too. The one guy you need to get on your show, Larry Seekander. Mm-hmm. Larry is a friend of mine on Facebook. Take a look. Larry has a piece of a ship, and I really believe that this is real. Bob White, who was a friend of his, and Bob did a lot of extra work and Gunsmoke and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Bob seen two ships, one fire on the other one, and a piece of that ship came down, and he went to it, and it was glowing hot. So he took a shovel, and it cooled rather rapidly, and he put it in his car, and he left it in for quite a while and stuff. And then when he took a look at it, it looks like a giant chunk of aluminum. But it's not. Some universities have taken a little chunk of that off, and the metal is not of this earth. You know, some metal is, some's uh-huh. not. And when he passed away, there's a lot of speculation that he was actually killed off by the United States government. Whether that's the truth, I don't know. But Larry's got that piece. And I would be afraid for the government to try to take that from Larry, because Larry is a really great guy. And we had him on our show. And you should have him on. It's pretty cool. A lot of people have examined it and stuff. But a lot of people, too, like different universities and stuff, want him to pay for the test to be done for with it. And it's very expensive. And like he says, I can't afford that, you know. So he used to have a little museum out of in Missouri somewhere or something like that. But look him up.
I will do that, yeah.
Take a look at him, yeah. And tell him I said, you need to come on my show, because he's a great guy. He can talk your ear off, too.
So tell us about the calling.
Calling was funny. I started it back in, 11 years ago, maybe even 12 years ago. I don't know exactly. When I started the MPC, the Minnesota Paranormal Coalition, and it didn't pan out. The MPC didn't, and I was going to give the show up, and I just was like, I can't do it, man. I crave this part of it, of being able to talk about it. And so I was sitting there, and I think I was with Steph. We were at a restaurant. And I'm like sitting there trying to think of what the name should be. And I heard somebody in the back of the room yell out, "The Calling." And I said to Steph, I go, "Did you hear that?" She's like, "No." And I said to the server, I said, "Did you hear somebody just yell out something?" She goes, "Would they yell out The Calling?" Nope, didn't hear it. I thought, okay, this is it. I'm going to call it The Calling. And I went through many co-hosts and stuff, and Kimberly, as I call her, Kimberly Juarez, was like the one that stood out, and she's awesome.
Yeah, she is good. You guys work together real well. Mm-hmm. That's on every Wednesday at 7 o'clock Central Time?
Yep, 7 o'clock Central Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on paraxradionetwork.com.
All right, and I will put all your links at the bottom of this episode where people can contact you or go to check out the Calling, and also your Excellent. The Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota.
But our website is siminnesota.com.
All right. Thank you, Jerry. It's been a pleasure of having you on the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Al. I like coming on, and hopefully you'll come on my show soon.
Hopefully, and we won't let this be another 2 years.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's always my pleasure to have Jerry Ayers on. He is the founder and lead investigator, Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota. His links will be at the bottom of this episode. And if you notice, every episode now, I am promoting other people's podcasts and blogs, whatever they have to offer, right where I can help them out, I will. And this week was Eleanor Wagner's Strange and Scary World, and also the Kathy Brooks Show. Both of those links will also be at the bottom of this episode. Thank you for listening. I'll see you in 2 weeks on Ghosts in a Valley podcast.